Well, good morning, everyone. Oh, we're going to do it one more time. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's go. All right. How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah. All right. So God is good.
All the time. God is good.
All right. We're literally going to be singing that song. So please get up on your feet and let's praise the Lord.
Singing that song really reminds me, honestly, kind of why are we here, and I hope it's why you're here, that we want the Lord to open the eyes of our hearts. It's our heart that God wants. He wants our hearts, your heart. And our prayer this morning is that he will open the eyes of our hearts, and that out of that opening, he will be glorified, that he will be honored, that the God who has saved us, the God who loves us, the God who is there for you and for me every day, every minute of every day, that he will be honored and glorified. You know, I just was hanging out with the guys on the patio this morning, and we got talking about it. It was really a wonderful time of fellowship and prayer. Wayne went last weekend to the Soli men's retreat, and he was just sharing about what that was like. And Kai got talking about Promise Keepers, you know, some years ago, and just these events where hundreds, if not tens of thousands of men gathered together to love and to worship and to have their hearts opened and be transformed by the power of God. And we were just remarking on how awesome the Lord is, how privileged we are to be together this morning, because he is here. And it's not just for guys. Women, frankly, we were talking about, women, frankly, are probably better at this than guys. That's why it's so cool what Promise Keepers does and what Soli is, you know, in drawing guys into that environment. But we are so privileged and blessed to be here today. So Richie says this all the time. So I want you to pause for a second and think about this. And then I want you to turn to somebody around you and say to them with a real heart, I am so glad you're here today. So say that to somebody. I'm glad you're here.
I am so glad you're here.
You too. All right. And doesn't that feel good? I mean, doesn't it feel good to say it to somebody else and to have somebody look at you in the eye and really say, I'm really glad that you're here this morning. So praise the Lord. So would you just pray with me, Lord? Jesus, glory and honor to your name. You are so worthy, Jesus Christ, of our praise, of glory coming from our hearts and coming from our mouths. So, Lord, just we know that you are here. We invite you this morning to open the eyes of our hearts, Lord. That is our prayer. That is our cry to you, Lord. Open the eyes of our hearts that you may grow in us, that you may change us in the ways that only you can. So we celebrate, we praise, and invite you, Lord, to work in the hearts of every man, of every woman, of every child, everyone watching just this morning, Lord. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, kids. What time is it, kids? All right. Kingdom Kids. We've got a whole gaggle of kids. What a wonderful thing. So we've got just a few quick announcements, particularly for those of you who are watching online right now. I understand last week there was a little bit of a blip with the live stream going on, and that got kind of addressed and recovered real quickly. But we want to just pass along kind of an actual technical tip to those of you who are watching live stream. So if in the future there is any kind of disruption to the live stream itself, one, we find out about it because technologically they do. Two, Tyler's phone blows up, and we do appreciate those of you who are watching. If something's going wrong, text Tyler. He's kind of our, he's kind of the secretary, I guess, or whatever. So let him know, hey, there's something going on, so we get the message to the bridge. But once they recover, the technical tip is if you're watching on YouTube, it's actually better. It's kind of like rebooting your computer. So actually log out of YouTube, close it down, come back into YouTube, and then go find the live stream and start it up again. So it's kind of a technical tip. Wanted to also just tell you about last night. There were 20 or so women who gathered in the Commons last night. And already I have heard so many awesome things and wonderful things about that event. that, and I'm just going to brag that my wife, Kathy, sorry, I know she hates it. Look at her. She's hard. I'm going to hear about this when I get home. But my wife leads women's ministry, and she and her team just did an awesome job in putting together this event last night of worship. Okay. I'm not going to make you stand up and take a bow, honey. Don't worry. But these two lovely ladies here led worship last night. Amanda, wherever you are, Amanda gave a powerful testimony just to, you know, the love and faithfulness of Christ. And there was fellowship, there was friendship that was taking place, just everything. So, ladies, congratulations on those of you who came. And for those of you who didn't, the next time, you need to come. So, wanted to remind you about Good Friday service. We are just kind of coming in here to Easter and all the wonderful things, the celebratory things that are going to take place in remembering and worshiping our risen Savior. But the Good Friday service is going to be this Friday, the 29th at 6:30 p.m. at Sorry. Thank you. All right. It's been a long week. I've had a long week. Sleep deprivation, just all sorts of stuff. Okay, whatever Friday it is still a Good Friday. It's on March 29th. It's at 6:30, and it is at Libby. So just read the screen. Forget everything I say, okay? Okay, so Easter Sunday, I'm not even going to try on when that is. So, but on the Sunday that is, in fact, Easter, we're going to have a wonderful event here. And we are still looking for pre-filled eggs, only because we want to have more pre-filled eggs than kids can possibly pick up. So if you want to buy some pre-filled eggs, they're still looking for them. And there's going to be lots of snacks, not just the normal daily stuff, but the way it was put this morning is snacks on steroids, okay? So it's not with steroids, there's not actual steroids, but just like blown up snacks, you know, we're going to have. But if anybody wants to actually bring your own lunch and actually have a family picnic and stuff, you're welcome to do that. So we are going to have some more worship by this amazing team here, and I'm going to pray. So, Lord, thank you again just to celebrate you as a family, to celebrate you as just brothers and sisters. So, Lord, fill this place. Fill this worship. Be with Richie as he just delivers the words you have given him from your word to encourage, to challenge us with the light and truth that we find only in Jesus. So we love you. Amen.
Just Just thank you this morning that your arms are open wide for us to come to the altar and just be in your presence, Lord. And I just pray that you will continue to speak to us, and we'll welcome you this morning. And as we hear your word, we pray that you will open our hearts to it and that you will speak to us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Well, good morning. This past Thursday, I had an opportunity to go down to a Christian school in Ventura to do their chapel for their elementary school. And the theme was knowledge, or really was knowing Jesus. And you know, as I was thinking about it, I said, well, you know what, why don't we talk a little bit about the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus, right? Huge difference. Could be an eternal difference, right? And so the kids come in, and I did a couple of songs on the guitar. And then we launched into this chapel about the difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I shared, you know, when I was in elementary school, one of my favorite classes that I had in, I think, fifth or sixth grade was rocketry. And so we learned all about rockets. Remember the model rockets? So we learned all about the science of rockets and gravity and velocity and all that. But the really cool thing, the experiential thing, the knowing rocketry back in the 70s, and I'm pretty sure you couldn't do this in this day and age, we would go out to the playground, and we would actually launch these rockets, right? We would launch these rockets, and the cool thing about it, again, this is back in the 70s, back in South San Diego, you know, if you shoot a rocket up, right, you shh, and then, you know, the fuse goes in there, there's a pop, and the cone pops off, and a parachute opens, right? Well, if there's wind, that's not coming down in the playground. And one of the coolest memories I've had of fifth and sixth grade was rocketry class, because we would shoot them up and we'd watch it, and then we'd go, boop, and this parachute would come out. And as soon as we discerned that it was drifting off campus, we had permission to go get it. And so me and my buddies, and we would just run, and we sometimes would go across the street into the park. Sometimes it would go into people's backyards, and we're jumping fences, and we're just getting this rocket to get it back. And it was so cool, because not only did we learn about rocketry, we got to experience rocketry. We got to, it was very experiential, very personal, and it was very, you know, meaningful, and it sticks with me. Well, I shared with the kids the difference between knowing about Jesus, a lot of facts, and knowing Jesus personally, experientially. And so I brought my daughter, who's a student at Westmont. She was off this past week. So I said, hey, you want to come with me to chapel? I need a prop. And so she said, sure, I'll help you. So I brought up Eileen, and I said, Eileen, why don't you just tell the school a little about yourself? So she told about her name. Her name's Eileen, I-L-Y, which means I love you, and, you know, all these biographical facts about her. I said, okay, so now we all know about Eileen. But how would we get to know Eileen, right? And this is always, this was my test to see if they were listening, if they were paying attention. So I said, how would you get to know Eileen just personally? And I love it. One of the younger girls raised her hand, and this is where I open it up and I hold my breath a little bit as I call on elementary kids. But it was so good, so cute, little girl in the front row. She goes, play with her. I'm like, she gets it. Play with her. Do something with her. Interact with her, right? She understood that there was a difference between knowing all these biographical facts about Eileen, but to play with Eileen, you would get to know her. And then another girl in the back raised her hand and said, yeah, you. She goes, ask her a million questions, you know. And I love that, because at the elementary level, they understood that there was a difference between knowing about someone and experientially knowing them, right? And in this series of grace that we've been through for several weeks now, there's a concern for me that we might just know about grace, but not know grace, right? And we have to be careful that we don't just slot grace into a doctrinal topic versus personal. See, grace is not just doctrinal, it's personal. In the same way, knowing Jesus is different than knowing about Jesus. We can know a lot of doctrinal truth and even assent to it, agree to it, amen it doctrinally. But the question is, do you know grace personally? Because when you know grace personally, radical things happen. Revolutionary things happen even before you leave here. Some of you may choose to experience grace, to receive grace, to accept grace for you personally today. And before you leave here, your life just changed. Could change for eternity, could change and set you free, even if you're a believer. If you move from strictly a doctrinal, informational sermon to personal, about me, transformational. Because again, sometimes if you've been in church, if you've grown up in VBS, even Christian school, even Christian colleges, it can be really tempting and easier to slot what you learn into about mode. We learn about heaven. We learn about Jesus. We learn about the Bible. And that's safer, probably even easier. That's how we're raised in school, right? And yet, I've told you before many times, the Bible was not given for information, but for transformation. Okay, you got to remember that. The Bible, God's word, was not given to us like a college textbook or a high school textbook just for information's sake. If you do that, then you're just stuck in doctrine mode. And doctrine mode doesn't necessarily save you. Personally, knowing Jesus saves you. Amen? And you got to be real careful about that. And that's the same thing about grace. I've heard many incredible stories from a number of you about how you're being transformed through this series. And the reason you're being transformed is you're receiving it personally. You're learning about it, some things you've never heard before, but you're not stopping there at doctrinal. You're saying, okay, Lord, but speak to me personal. And that's my prayer for us today, is that, again, it's not just doctrine, but it's real, right? I love this song, and you touched on it, open the eyes of my heart. Again, in church, if we're not careful, it's head knowledge. We come, we take notes, we fill in blanks at some places, right? And we go into academic information gathering mode, and sometimes we'll say, hey, how was the sermon? Oh, it was really good. I learned some new things. Okay, kind of cool. I'm glad you learned some new things. But James says, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers of it, right? So we don't stop at hearing. In fact, the Bible says, if you just stop at hearing, the Bible itself says you're deluded, right? You miss the whole point. So we don't come to church and we don't listen to podcasts and we don't tune in live stream just to gather more data and more information and then say, oh, that was a good message. I learned some stuff. The whole point is, Mark, I appreciate your opening this morning. We are here in the presence of God. And we believe here the Bible is living and active, that there's the spirit of truth, the spirit of grace. And every time we gather, whether you're here personal or online or whether you're watching this later, there is an opportunity. If you will open the eyes of your heart to let God speak to you. That's why we do this. That's why we do this. That's what makes this meaningful, is that we really believe the God of the universe has spoken through the living word of God, and he knows every person here and every person online and every person who's going to listen to this. He knows you. He knows you. There's nothing in your life hidden from his sight. Literally nothing. He knows exactly where you are spiritually at this exact second, 10:28. He knows exactly where you are spiritually, and he knows exactly what you need. And so today my prayer is that wherever you are in your understanding of grace and your appropriation of grace, that God will speak to you. And that it won't just be another doctrinal sermon about grace, but it would be all of us growing in grace personally. Amen? Okay, that's our prayer. So we're going to look at that, our working definition of grace, to kind of root us for the last several weeks, is this. Grace, in simple terms, is God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement and empowerment for salvation and for daily sanctification. We talked about this. Grace, unmerited favor, levels the playing field. Everybody who is a believer is a recipient of God's grace, and everyone who's a recipient of God's grace did nothing to deserve it. Amen? Purely unmerited. That in and of itself is a constant source of joy. You didn't earn it, and you don't have to worry about losing it. It's all by grace. Amen? Okay, so there's salvation, a grace. We receive the gift of salvation. But then there's also daily grace. God's grace is sufficient. Did you wake up this morning and say, God, I need your grace for today? Because that's the other side of the coin. So there's grace in salvation, and there's grace in sanctification. We need God's grace 24/7, 365. That's his supernatural enablement. And so today we're going to continue, and we're going to look at grace using the Apostle Paul as an example and kind of our launching point. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is about to leave his ministry in Ephesus. He's been there for about 3 years, and it's a big farewell message with the elders of the church at Ephesus. And we're going to pick it up as he's speaking to them right before he leaves. He's going to go to Jerusalem, and you know, he realizes he's not coming back. It's kind of a grievous tearjerker moment because they love each other dearly. And so when someone is leaving and it's their final words, it kind of matters, right? And like you want to perk up a little bit. And so this is Paul's final encouragement, admonition to the elders of the church of Ephesus, Acts 20, verse 28. It says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up to give you and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That last verse, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. That struck me because he's about to leave, and he says, you know what? What he doesn't say is, and here's how to run the church. And here's how you should run your worship service. He doesn't go into a bunch of how-tos and church methodology and church systems and everything. What does he do? He gets real personal and he says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Foundational to the continued success and ministry of the church at Ephesus was God and the word of grace. Amen? That's what it was built on. And if it's going to continue after Paul, he's saying, you personally have got to be focused on God and the word of grace. That's it. That's what I'm leaving you with. And I was thinking of that in light of the well, right? And our journey here, 14 years, starting in a living room right in this neighborhood over here. And we have this progression. We move into this facility in 2017. And I think, you know what? What is absolutely necessary for the long haul for the well? The health and the longevity of this ministry at 1290 Grand. It's that we would be right with God and committed to the word of grace. Right? So the challenging part, though, in the United States is the way we do churches, it can become very personality driven. Churches can become very personality driven. Or they can be, you know, sort of a lot of trappings driven. Oh, I really like that church, their worship team. I really like their facility. I really like their kids program. I really like. I really like that pastor. He's my favorite pastor, right? And I get that to a certain point, but you got to be real careful if you get caught up in primarily focusing on the trappings of church and the personality of church. What does the Apostle Paul say? I commend you to God and to the word of grace. You have first and foremost got to be committed. Now, there's a lot of great things that happen here at the well, and I appreciate, you know, the affirmation I get from you with the way I preach and all of that. But here's the thing. Don't get hung up on me. I get it, but really, I'm just a recipient of grace, just like you. I use my gifts. I use my talents up here. I study. I prep. But you, and I'm speaking to everyone individually and us collectively, the church, you, I commend you to God and to word of grace. That's my heart for you. Not about me. When we first started the church, it was so funny because there was this phrase that would go around and kind of had to do with where we came from, right? They would call it Richie's church. I'm like, oh, please don't call it Richie's church, right? And you know, Carl Becker, and many of you know Carl, he made a mug. And on this mug, he put Richie's church, and he gave it to me. I'm like, dude, really? Right? It's not my church. But I kind of get it. You know, I'm the lead pastor, identified. But please, I commend you to God and to the word of grace. Like, that's just the way it is. It's interesting. I heard this quote yesterday, and this pastor had studied movements of God. And he made this quote. He said, movements start when the founder of the movement really knows God. And then he said this. This is what struck me. Movements die when the followers only know the founder. You see? That's truth. That's truth. You know, it was interesting. I worked with Pastor Miles in San Diego, huge church, The Rock, right? Mega church in San Diego. I think it's like 10,000 plus. But I remember Miles when he wasn't yet Miles of The Rock. Me and him worked together in high school ministry, and we would travel around the country. He was a speaker around the country. And Miles, for a while, did this Sunday night service at our church in San Diego. And this was held in a gymnasium on a middle school campus, and it was filled. There's probably 1,000 plus people that would come. And Miles is a dynamic speaker. He would preach the word of God. But it always kind of challenged me and bummed me out because sometimes Miles had to travel. And I would be there, and Miles wasn't there, and they didn't announce that Miles wasn't going to be there. And it always amazed me when people came, and after a little bit, they discerned that Miles wasn't speaking, and they would leave. And I just kind of understood that. Kinda. But every man they put it behind the pulpit was going to open the Word of God and speak from the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Why are you leaving just because it's not Miles? Right? And that's kind of a bit of a gut check moment. I get it. You were excited. You really like Miles' style. He's funny. He's dynamic. But you're leaving? You're actually going to leave just because it's not Miles? You see how that's a setup? And that's a huge setup around the country when you get hooked on personality of big churches and what happens when the senior pastor falls. That's weighty. Because the fallout and ripple effect of when a senior pastor falls for all those who are following the personality of the pastor, it can be devastating for their spiritual health. And their, right? And so the Apostle Paul leaving Ephesus says, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Right? Commend means to set something beside or in front of someone, to entrust someone to their care. He says, you know what? I am placing you elders in the hands of God and the word of God to continue your ministry. Right? And he says that the word of grace, the word of God, is able to build you up. So if we're going to, as a church and individually, continue to grow in the grace of God, we have to be in the word of grace. You have to be in the word of grace. Warren Wiersbe says this, God's word is like a hammer. It is a tool for breaking down the old life and building up the new life. It enables us to build the church. If you want to build your life, you must use tools. And the greatest tool of all is the word of God. The better you understand the meaning of key Bible words, the more tools you will have in your spiritual workshop for building your own Christian life and helping to build the church, right? So again, I love that word picture because it takes us out of a textbook and information, and suddenly for all the carpenters and tool guys here, right, you get tools. Tools. And sometimes you get a new tool, like, I don't even know how to use this thing, right? And how many of you have gone from fumbling and bumbling with a tool to being pretty darn good with the tool? Right? Second nature, and you're like, yeah, I got this, right? How many of you had a hard time driving stick shift? If you still have anyone here? Anyone remember the first time you tried to drive stick shift? Clutch, 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 right? And then suddenly you're doing stick shift and you're on hills and it's like you're not even thinking about it, right? But you had to work through, right, grinding the gears. You can't find it, grind it. Remember that kind of stuff, right? And all your friends laughing at you, like, clutch, you're ruining my gears. I'm like, sorry, bro. But over time, you figured out how to drive stick. Over time, you figured out how to use that tool. The Bible is the same way. It takes work. You're not going to necessarily grow in the word of grace by osmosis or even by passivity. There's value in podcasts. There's value in coming here and all that. I'm not saying there's not. But at a certain point, you have to take up the tool. Right? You have to. And then you got to do it. You just got to roll up your sleeves, take a deep breath, and do it. Years ago, I had this a Saturn. Like, I forget how many years ago, and something was wrong with the transmission. It started to slip. And me being Mr. DIY, save some money, I decided to YouTube this thing. And I YouTube because, you know, there was the same problem. Someone had a slipping transmission on their sound. And I'm like, I'm watching the YouTube. I could do that. Right? And this good mechanic used to get all the tools. And there I was in my driveway pushing play and pause way in the depths of my transmission. And then you button it all up. And you're like, I hope this works. Right? And actually, you know, I'm going around the neighborhood, and I'm like, row, row, because it's slipping even worse, and it finally caught up, and it was doing fine. And then one of my friends is a mechanic, and I said, hey, man, you know, this is what I did. He said, you did what? He's like, I don't even do that. I send that out. I'm like, dude, I don't know. Ignorance is bliss, I guess. I just YouTubed the thing and trusted this mechanic that I have no idea who he was. I just trusted him because he sounded legit, right? The point of that is sometimes you got to roll up your sleeves and do it. You just got to, you got to jump in. It can be daunting, right? And, oh man, it's Bible and I don't understand that and all these genealogies and all this big words. And I get that. I was there too. But you got to roll up your sleeves and you got to do it. Baby steps, okay? Baby steps, because it's able to build you up. 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got to grow, okay? There is an end game here, maturity. 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. That's Christ-likeness, godliness. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste for the Lord's kindness. It takes, you got to prioritize. You got to carve out time. Anybody here ever get caught watching YouTubes and shorts and videos, like scrolling? Yep. Come on, let's see. Thank you. And then afterwards, you're like, man, I just wasted like an hour and a half. Anyone? You're like, whoa, man. It's so weird how you can waste an hour and a half with 30-second shorts. You're like, dude, dang, boom, boom. You know? It's choice. It's a choice, right, of how we use our time. And we can get, there's a lot of distractions out there. There's a lot of things that will draw us. You know, I call it shiny object, right? The next shiny object, you know? We have to choose at a certain point to discipline ourselves to be in the word of grace. Okay, it's just a choice. And Jerry Bridges says, it is impossible to practice godliness without a constant, consistent, and balanced intake of the word of God in our lives. So quick survey, just personal survey, last 7 days. How was your intake of the word of God, the word of grace, the last 7 days? How were you? Where was it on the priority scale? Right? And I get it. It's not guilt and condemnation. I get it. It's challenging. Right? Because life is busy. We get up and, you know, I try to do, you know, how many of you, let's survey says, how many of you are morning quiet timers? Try. At least that's the intent. Morning. Get up. Okay. How many of you in the morning at times have found yourself challenged with other things in the morning and have said, I'll get to it later? Anyone say, I'll read the Bible during lunch? Right? And then, oh, man. And, dinner. I'm doing it right around late afternoon. And how many of you have kicked the can down the road and you missed the whole day? Right? I get it. I've been there. Okay. So I know how hard it is. Even though we say, gosh, I want to grow in grace. Gosh, I want to be more like Jesus. Gosh, I need to be in the word of grace. And we try. I get it. So I just want to affirm you. I get it. Hang in there. Baby steps. Don't live in guilt and condemnation. Just make a choice and try different things. Sometimes you just have to try different things. I tried this one thing. I read in a book, right? I'm a young Christian, and I'm like, I need some help with this, you know, because I tend to be kind of loosey-goosey, and I just kind of, you know. And so this one guy said what really helped him is he made this rule for a while. No Bible, no breakfast. I'm like, that's kind of okay. Okay. Lasted about a week, and I'm like, still didn't do it, you know. But my point is sometimes you got to try some different things. Okay, I'm not going to, no Bible, I can't have breakfast. I'm like, okay. That might work for somebody. Again, me, it was more of a short term. Because I realized for me, you know, I'm pretty stubborn. And it just kind of boils down to me making a choice. I can't make excuses. I just chose to do other things. I chose to jump into the day. I chose to turn on my computer. I chose to get on my phone. I chose to. And so sometimes, to me, honestly, what helped me get back into the Word of God, honestly, confession time, is just like, Lord, I'm just lazy. And I just wake up and I just want to jump into the day. You know? One of my biggest Achilles heels is I have my phone right next to my nightstand. And I wake up and I still battle with turning it on and getting into the day, like immediately. And I just share that with you because we're all in sanctification, okay? And I want to stand up here and say I got this word of grace thing all together, but I understand, like you, it is important. And I'm still trying to figure out even for me. I've been doing this for 30 years and walking with Jesus even more than that. Where do I get this? And sometimes, here, it's fluid, okay? Sometimes you'll have a season where mornings work, and then you have a child, and mornings don't work so well anymore because you're tired, right? And you got to figure it out. My point is, just figure out what works, amen? Give yourself some grace, okay, and figure it out. The key is that you're figuring it out and you just didn't blow it off. That's a huge difference, okay? Keep working it out. You have unique temperaments. You have unique work schedules. You have unique commitments. Just figure out what works. It might be 5 minutes or 10 minutes at work in between. Sometimes, right, because we were raised like quiet time. Must be quiet. I must do it when everyone's asleep before, right? And we try because we get locked in that a quiet time must be a certain way. And we try really hard, and it, for whatever reason, it just doesn't fit our lifestyle and personality or whatever. Give yourself the grace to meet God somewhere else. Amen? Because what is the point of quiet time? To be with the Lord. Don't forget that. The point of the quiet time is to come to the throne of grace and have time with Father, whether that's the morning, afternoon, evening, at work, walking around. Give yourself the grace to find time to be with Father that works. Okay? I just kind of share that with you. Because sometimes we get all bummed out, and then it doesn't work, and then we get condemning ourselves, and we just chuck the whole thing. Don't do that. Don't do that, okay? Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The word of grace, the word of God, it's living. It's active, right? How many of you have ever had a verse and you're like, that's the verse for me? What's going on there? It's living and active. And the spirit of truth is speaking right into your exact issue and need, okay? 2 Timothy, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We started the service with the song, God is good. Amen? God is good. And all the time, that's why he gave you the word of grace. Okay? We said that, the illustration from Warren Wiersbe, that God's word is like a hammer and a good way to build you up. God's word is not like a sledgehammer to beat you up. Amen? Big difference. Word of grace to build you up, not to beat you up. You got some people here, you can switch that, it might change your desire and passion to be in the word of grace. He gives it to us to build us up, not to beat us up. Okay? Very important. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That word transformed is metamorphosis. And the word picture for metamorphosis I've shared with you before is a butterfly. Right? Through the word of grace, intake, disciplined intake, and quiet time, coming to the throne of grace, God desires to transform us through metamorphosis into something completely new. Amen? This is it. We're all in process to become something completely new. Right? And it's through the word of grace. The Apostle Paul, he's so honest. I love the Apostle Paul. He's so honest, and he gives his testimony on his journey of grace. In 1 Corinthians, he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me." I started when I said, grace is not just doctrinal, it's personal. And if you know the story of the Apostle Paul, you understand why grace to him was so personal, right? He tells a story in Acts 22. "And I persecuted the followers of the way, hounding some to death, arresting both men and women and throwing them in prison. The high priest and the whole council of elders can testify that this is so. For I received letters from them to our Jewish brothers in Damascus, authorizing me to bring the followers of the way from there to Jerusalem in chains to be punished. This is the Apostle Paul when he was known as Saul. This was what he was doing, persecuting Christians, right? And then he has this incredible meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Acts 9. He says, now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. So the Apostle Paul is persecuting believers on his way to go continue persecuting believers. On the road to Damascus, he has this incredible supernatural meeting with Jesus. Personal. Becomes personal. Right? And he's transformed from Saul into Paul, called to be an apostle. And then in 1 Timothy, he says, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me, personal, with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. See, I love that story because the Apostle Paul is saying, you know what? Grace is personal. Grace is personal. And I wonder for us today and you at home listening, is grace personal? Would you be as joyful and confident in sharing your grace story? Because all of us have a grace story. You really do, right? Now, some of your grace stories might be out of tough times and poor decisions and prodigal living and, you know, and ending up at the bottom of the barrel, okay? I get that. And sometimes we highlight that and then it makes other people feel like, well, I don't have a story. I've been good all my life. No, you have a story. Because grace is unmerited favor. Amen? So if you went down this side of the tracks and you had rough decisions and poor decisions, you ended up, you know, in misery and all of that, and you came to your senses, and God by his grace saved you out of that misery, amen. Hallelujah, right? Amen? But if you were self-righteous and good and didn't do anything bad and thought you didn't need God and you merited heaven and God in his grace said, no, you ain't all that, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and if you were from the good camp, the good side of the tracks, the good self-righteous camp, and God said, no, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, by his grace opened your eyes to the need of a Savior, that's an amen moment too. Amen? Amen. Right. They both meet at the grace. This side and this side, the great equalizer, the great unifier is God's grace. Amen? Everybody here who's a believer should be celebrating, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Right? Don't minimize your story. Celebrate your story, because your story will be used by God to minister to someone else who comes from the same side of the tracks. Amen? Right? That's the glory of grace. Hebrews 4, we looked at this a couple weeks ago. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Then we focus on verse. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We looked at this. And this is where it goes from, again, doctrinal to personal. I can share that. We looked at that a few weeks ago. We said throne of grace. Because of Jesus, we can enter the throne of grace, not just the high priest anymore. Question, have you entered the throne of grace this week? Did you personally take advantage of the supernatural privilege you have as one of God's children to enter the throne of grace, to receive mercy and grace this week? You've got to go personally. See, I can tell you about it. I can teach you. I can try to be biblically, doctrinally correct about it. But at a certain point, you have to go in yourself. You have to go into the throne of grace personally. And that makes all the difference. Because when you take baby steps to do that, you find grace just even to do that. Right? And the crazy thing is, when you enter the throne of grace, what are you going to find there? Well, it says mercy and grace, but you know what you're going to find? The word of grace. When you come to Father and you have a time of prayer, it's not just you listing all your needs, and that's important, and he says, you know, cast all your cares. You can do that. But the way Father ministers grace to us primarily is through the word of grace, his word. Right? When we looked at that verse, remember when we talked about frapping, right? You'll find help. And that word help is a nautical term from the British Navy, frapping, where those old ships would be in a storm, and they were so concerned that the ship was going to actually break apart that they would wrap chains and cables around the ship. That nautical term was frapping, right? At 90-degree angles, they would literally hug the ship so it didn't fall apart. Frapping. And I shared with you, when you come to the throne of grace to find help, what you're finding is the God of all grace doing this to you. Frapping. If you're in a storm, he's doing this. Now, what is this? He's going to do that through the word of grace. It's not just feelings and it's not just some weird mystical thing. When I come to the throne of grace and I'm like anxious about something or fearful about something, you know what he uses to do this to me? His word. It's his word. Right? If I'm worried about finances or I'm worried about, you know, taking care of some responsibility and I do this, he goes, hey, don't worry. I feed the birds. Right? I know what you need. He brings Matthew 6. Right? He brings Matthew 6 to me. The way he does this, when you come to the throne of grace, he ministers to us through the word of grace. That's why you need to be in the word of grace. So he can speak to you personally the verse that you need in that storm, in that situation. Right? That's why we come to the throne of grace. And we're ministering. There's this interaction through the spirit of grace with the word of grace. That's how it works. It's not just touchy-feely mysticism. It's the word of grace at the throne of grace, okay? And so the Apostle Paul, I was thinking of this, well, how can we make this a little more personal? How can we make this personal? Because the Apostle Paul makes that great statement, by the grace of God, I am what I am, right? And you just get this confidence, celebration, right? It might be Popeye. Some of you remember Popeye. I am what I am, right? It's all that I am, right? By the grace of God, I am what I am. The question is, who am you? Would you say that this morning, like at this moment, by the grace of God, I am what I am? And what would you mean by that? Like literally, what would you mean? Right? Paul knows what he means. I shouldn't even be an apostle. I was a persecutor. I went from a persecutor to a privileged son to now I'm an apostle. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Right? Well, for you and I. Today, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Well, okay, what do you mean? What does that mean? Can you give me some examples of what you am, what you're celebrating, right? And I want to bring us back to some basics because I want to fill in that by the grace of God, I am what I am, and hopefully put a smile on your heart. Put a smile on your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Amen? By the grace of God, I am a new creation. Okay, we're going to say that together. And I want you got to own this. This is, I'm not, okay, there's a difference between me telling you what you are and you telling me what you are. You see the difference? See, you come to church and the guy behind here usually tells you things about you and about God. This time, you tell me, and I'll be saying it too because that's part of the sense, right? So we're going to say, by the grace of God, I am a new creation. But don't just say it because it's about. Say it because it's true. By the grace of God, I am a new creation. See? See, the woos mean it gets got personal. If it hasn't got personal yet, you're like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah, think about it. Remember new creation? Remember when I put up the cars, the concept cars versus the, right, the 2023 Sonata, the new latest one off the assembly line versus the concept car? When it says you're a new creation, that's kainos, never existed before. You're the concept car. That's you. You're not just the latest Sonata off the line, right? So, by the grace of God, I am a
new creation.
Never existed before. Brand new. Concept car. That's okay. Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By the grace of God, I am justified. What is justification? Declared not guilty, fully righteous. This is the God, legal God. This is judge God that most of us think about, right? When you put your faith in Jesus, you are justified, which means, once and for all, not guilty, fully righteous. Not guilty, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. So it's, see, people think when you get saved, you just get morally neutral. Like, it's clean, but you're just kind of blah, right? You know, like Navajo white, right? You know? No. When you get saved, you are declared not guilty, and then you're wrapped in the righteousness of Jesus, and God really is stoked on you. Right? So by the grace of God, I am justified. That's an eternal truth. That's what billions of people on this planet cannot say. Billions of people on this planet are still working very hard to find peace with God. Billions of people on this planet are still wondering if they've been declared not guilty before the God of the universe. Billions of people on this planet will pass away at their last moment still wondering if they're not guilty. We, through faith in Jesus, by the grace of God, know the answer. Amen? All right. So, by the grace of God, I am justified. All right? By the grace of God, you're good to go. By the grace of God, you're a new creation. By the grace of God, you're justified. Right? One more. Romans 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. By the grace of God, we're adopted. Now, there's a distinction between kind of being a generic child of God and being adopted as a son. When the Bible says you have experienced adoption, it means you receive all the rights and privileges. There is no second class siblings. When it says, by the grace of God, you are adopted, you're in, right? So in Roman culture, a wealthy childless man could take a slave youth and make that slave his child and heir. The adopted person was no longer a slave. He became a full heir to his new family, guaranteed all legal rights to his father's property. He was not a second-class son. He was equal to all other sons, biological or adopted, in his father's family. That person's origin or past was no longer a factor in his legal standing. Likewise, when a person becomes a Christian, he or she leaves the slavery of trying to please God through works and gains all the privileges and responsibilities of a child in God's family. You're not just a child, you're an adopted child, which means you have all the rights and privileges. You're an heir of the King. There is no second class in God's family. By the grace of God, you are adopted. Amen? All right, so we're going to say it again. By the grace of God, I am a new creation. By the grace of God, I'm justified. By the grace of God, I am adopted. Okay, we'll start from the beginning. New creation. By the grace of God, I am a
new creation.
By the grace of God, I am
justified.
By the grace of God, I am
adopted.
Are you kind of getting the sense when Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, how he was feeling when he said that? Overwhelmed, mind blown. It's too good to be true. I can't believe it either, right? If you're feeling that, that's what Paul was feeling. That's where Paul was. And that's where we are today in 2024. Amen? By the grace of God, I am what I am. You really? I remember you in high school. I know it's crazy, isn't it? A few weeks ago, I had a friend call. One of my best buddies from high school. He said, hey, there's like five of us coming up to Ojai for the weekend. We want to get together with you and Nadine if we can. And I'm like, okay. Now, he's a good friend of mine, but he remembers me from high school. I haven't seen him in 40 years. And you know, I'm like, I think he knows what I do. Probably Googled me. And it was a little bit interesting because this group came up from 40 years, literally have had very minimal contact. I haven't seen some of them in 40 years. They know high school me. Yeah, high school me. And now I'm a pastor, and they're coming. And I'm trying to, like, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Let's not talk about high school memories, please. Right? And I have to embrace who I am today by the grace of God. I own what I did in high school, and I had to own what they remember about me in high school, but by the grace of God, I had to live today. And so we had a great, you know, we met at, what's that cafe, the pastry place? The Duchess. We met at the Duchess. Had a great time with them, caught up, and it was all good. But man, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous because I hadn't, some of them I had not seen in 40 years, and it was just going to be that reunion. And in my mind, I'm like, what do they even remember or think about me? Right? And I had to own, by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Amen? You own that too. We all have a story. We all have shoulda, woulda, couldas. Right? Hindsight is always 20/20. We get that. Look at the Apostle Paul. He persecuted Christians. At a certain point, you and I just have to believe and accept that by the grace of God, I am what I am today. Amen? And move forward. Move forward. It's the enemy that wants to do this. It's the enemy who wants to slander you. It's the enemy who wants to bring back all the old stuff. And you say, when the enemy comes, you say, hey, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And you just keep moving forward. And so we have those three truths, right? We're new creation, justified, adopted. There's also something that I thought of, you know, Mark used this in Kenya, right? It's a thing I've used in the past. By the grace of God, right? We use clap around here. We'll put it up, right? By the grace of God, go ahead and you can put that up. I am complete, loved, accepted, and pleasing. We talked about this before. Yes, right? Right? So by the grace of God, I am complete, loved, accepted, pleasing. Right? By the grace of God. Right? And I shared this with you before. When I first learned this, I was early in ministry, and I get really nervous speaking. I would speak at different places. And I had to remember this. And sometimes before I would speak, I'd be doing this. Oh, Lord, I'm so nervous. And I would clap to remind myself of this and not be feared, not be scared of man. Right? I say, I'm complete. I'm loved, accepted, pleasing. Okay, I'm going to go do this. Right? By the grace of God, I am complete. I'm loved, I'm accepted, I'm pleasing. Right? That's you. That's you. And it is a reason to clap. Amen? Right? And I share this with you. This makes grace personal. This blends doctrinal and personal. Every day, you could say, God, thank you that by your grace, I am complete, loved, accepted, pleasing. Bam! Even before you get out of bed. Before you go to bed, or any other time you need it, when the boss chews you out, when you don't do good on that test, right? When you put your foot in your mouth, when you react in road rage and you do whatever you're going to do, right? When we are not perfect and we confess, by God's grace, we are still new creations, justified, adopted, complete, loved, accepted, pleasing. By the grace of God, we are still, I am what I am. Amen? Come on. That's where we are. This is what we got to do. This is grace lived. This is grace expressed out there. This is what the world needs. This is what the world needs. Right? I love that quote, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words. Well, you know how you can preach the gospel at all times? Grace. Live in the joy of grace and watch people around you. What's up with you? By the grace of God, I am what I am. What do you mean? Well, then you share the gospel of grace. You're in this world, especially with all the darkness and craziness, you're in is to just simply be you in Christ. It's not even trying to do the four spiritual laws and and trying to wiggle a conversation into. Just be you. By the grace of God, be you. And live that and watch what God does. Watch what God does in you and through you, just in your circle of pickleballers, your circle at work, just because you're enjoying and you have made grace personal. That's attractional. That's the attraction, is people who have received grace and are living by grace, right? And I'll close with this verse, 2 Corinthians. At the throne of grace, Father may say to you today, but he said to me, hey, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul then says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, that's the example. You come to the throne of grace, you're hurting, you're struggling, you've blown it again for the umpteenth time, and what does Father do? Hey, my grace is sufficient. Hey, my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's the word of grace at the throne of grace. That's what happens there. Okay? And so I want to give you an opportunity. I came across this song, and I'm like, I hadn't heard it in a while. This is a lot, but I want to give you an opportunity to make this kind of like exclamation point, drive the stake in the ground, however you want to do it, about the personal nature of grace. And so here's a great song. It's called Who You Say I Am. And when you hear the song and you read the lyrics, it's a challenge, it's an invitation to receive God's grace today. Embrace it. Just appropriate it, take it, because it's who he says you are, who he says I am, okay? Jordan, let's go ahead and play that, and then we'll prep for communion. Are you? By the grace of God, I am what I am. I love that, right? I am who you say I am. Not the critical voice. Not the enemy. I am who you say I am. By your grace, I'm a new creation. I'm justified. I'm adopted. I'm complete. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm pleasing. All because of your grace. I am who you say I am. Oh, take that to the bank. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Celebrate it. Own it. Live it. Be free of all the guilt and condemnation, all the baggage of the past, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas. By the grace of God, I am who I am. And you live that. You live that. And you celebrate that. Amen? Father, thank you. Thank you that we are who you say we are. The Apostle Paul, we say the same thing in 2024. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Thank you, Father. Thank you that it's by your word of grace that we know who we are. It's your word of grace at the throne of grace where you, the God of all grace, speak grace over us. We are new creations. We are justified. We have peace with you. We are adopted into your family. We have full rights and privileges. We are complete. We are loved. We are accepted. We are pleasing. Father, today we receive that. As strange and as maybe awkward and resistant some of us might be, Father, by faith right now, because you say it, we receive it. It's true. I am who you say I am. Thank you. It is overwhelming. It is absolutely overwhelming. And so, Father, I pray that your grace would flood our hearts. Open the eyes of our heart to receive your grace today. Remove the guilt and condemnation, the memories, all the shoulda, woulda, couldas. By the grace of God, I am who I am as I sit here today. And I celebrate that, I receive it, and I am overflowed with joy. And we prepare for communion. Father, I pray that if there's someone here or someone listening that has not received the gift of salvation, the grace gift of salvation, that today they would simply receive the gift of salvation through faith in Jesus. Can't earn it. Nothing you do to merit it. Like the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, you have a story. God knows your story. And he wants to meet you here. Just like he met Saul on the road to Damascus, he wants to meet you here. And he wants to know you. And he wants you to know him. Not just know about Jesus, he wants you to know Jesus. So you can receive God's gift of salvation today. Just receive it. Put your faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Receive the gift of grace. And celebrate everything we've said. Because you're part of the family now. And if you are here as a child of God, as a believer, and you have been struggling with guilt, bondage, resistant to even receiving that such good things could be true about you, today I pray God's grace would overflow you, would fill you, and that you would simply say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and receive God's grace and love at his throne of grace today. We're going to open the communion table, and you can come up and grab a cup, and then you can go back. And today we're going to go back. You can have some quiet time individually as a family and just thank God for his grace. And then you can take communion on your own and just celebrate God's grace that we are who we are by the grace of God. So you can come up when you're ready.
Sitting there and just thinking about kind of ending our time together today, just one word came to me: joy. I don't know how you're feeling right now, but I am feeling joy, because I've got a story. I totally have a story, and frankly, I'm not Paul of Tarsus, but I'm a screw up, and there's a lot in my life that has not merited or warranted God's love or grace at all. And I'm still that way. Don't ask Kathy. But joy. I hope you leave here today with joy, or those of you at home, the joy in your heart for the mercy and grace of God. And kind of the opportunity that you have this week is to share that joy with somebody else. You're going to have a chance. You're going to have an opportunity somewhere, sometime this week, to just share that joy that is in your heart with somebody else and point to Jesus and say, it's Him. It's Him, and it's Him alone is why I am who I am, and I am joyful. So have a wonderful week. God bless you guys, and we'll see you next week.